So we're reading John chapter 14. Jesus comforts his disciples. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with you, with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the place to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it.
Jesus promises the Holy Spirit, If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives in you and will be with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away, and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming, He has no hold over me, but he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave.
I'd like to look for a few moments at the I ams of Jesus. We had the psalm which talked about the shepherd. We had the reading from John where it says, "I am," where Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And you may have a favourite I am. If you live in the country, you may like "I am the good shepherd." If you like architecture, you might like "I am the door." And you may have, as I say, a favourite one that you really enjoy of the many and amazing I ams of Jesus. If you're an electrician, you might like "I am the light of the world." Who knows? But, you know, we probably have got a favourite one that we think, yeah, that's really good. But I'd like to, if you're a baker, you might like "You're the bread of life." So I'd like to look briefly at them because they are amazing. And I was thinking about it, actually, having a cup of coffee in bed this morning. I've been walking a bit carefully in the last little while because I fell in my garage on Thursday evening and fell not forwards but backwards onto a metal-clad toolbox. So my back, whilst, thank God, nothing is broken, is very bruised, and if I ever have to cough, it's very painful. So I'm walking around. So if I'm walking today rather carefully, you'll know why. But I was thinking, lying in bed this morning, having a cup of coffee, that that the I ams, Jesus didn't say, "I may be," "I was," or "I will be." He said, "I am." And all the ones we look at today, they're the I ams. And interestingly, in Revelation, you know that verse where it says, "I am standing at the door and knock. I am standing at the door and knock." But I'd like to look first from John 6, verse 35. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." And I think he means that he is the source of spiritual nourishment. Just as our physical bodies need food and water, so our souls need spiritual nourishment. And Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." And just as our bodies not only need, but they need regular food, regular meals, and similarly our souls require regular spiritual sustenance. And Jesus says, "Come to me, I am the bread of life." It's going to be a whistle-stop tour through them today, but maybe you can share them in a little more depth another time or privately amongst yourselves. Jesus says in John chapter 8, verse 12, "I am the light of the world." So we have the bread of life, "I am the light of the world." And light is very important, isn't it? I didn't live through the war. I was born 6 years after the war ended. But I've seen pictures. Classic cars is my hobby, and I've seen pictures of cars in that time with all the lights dimmed down, and you could just see a faint bit of light out, and how the drivers quite navigated without that light, that the headlights that we're used to now in on our modern cars, I'm not quite sure. But just as physical light is needed to see clearly, whether we're walking, whether we're driving, whether we're going around our homes. You know, if we go into a room in the dark, we turn the light on. In the old days, I guess it was, we took a candle with us. Well, I didn't quite, because electricity was around when I was a lad. Although we moved into a house in 1985, just outside of Petworth, and there had never been electricity on the very top floor. So we put electricity in there for the very first time, and 1985 is not that long ago. But we need light to get around lives. If you go into a shop, you hope it's illuminated so you can see what you want to purchase. And Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." And as we navigate sometimes the difficulties of life, isn't it great to know Jesus is lighting our path? He illuminates, removing confusion. You know, lights remove confusion. It's difficult to see in the dark. Sometimes you may have to walk around at home in the dark. And if you're familiar with the house, it's easy. But if you're not, it's very easy to trip over something, isn't it? So Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He said, I will remove confusion and despair. So with Jesus as the light of the world, and his light produces clear direction. The light of the world. In John 10, Jesus says, I am the door. Now, doors obviously are for entering into a building. You came in this morning through the door, either the front door or maybe the back door. But when you go home, you will go through the door. And the door is a place into a place of protection. You know, doors lead to places of protection and make a passage safe, a safe passage from one space to another. So when you go shopping tomorrow, you'll go in the shop doorway, whether it's an electric door that opens as you come up to it, or whether you have to use the good old-fashioned handle. You'll go through the door. And Jesus says, I am the door. And when we, as it were, walk through the Jesus door, we step out of sin's confinement and into freedom and fellowship with God. That is what Jesus came to bring. He said, I've come to bring life in all its fullness. So as we see Jesus as the door to a full and a free life. So the bread of life, the light of the world, Jesus said, I am the door. He says, as we've had read to us today, in John chapter 10, verse 11, we read, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I am, and interestingly, I thought about this, he said, I am the good shepherd, which by inference means there are bad shepherds. Jesus is the good shepherd. And as he says later on, you know, a thief will come to steal the sheep. That's what he wants to do. That's the bad shepherd. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. I care for them. They know my voice. I know their voice. I know what they need. So Jesus says to you and me today, I am the good shepherd. Do you mind being likened to a sheep today? You know, no, that's good, because Jesus is the good shepherd. I watch Country Files sometimes, and I quite enjoy it, and other country programs. And sheep are amazing, aren't they? It says all we like sheep have gone astray, and Jesus knows that. That's why he said, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep have gone astray," but he said that the shepherd cares for the sheep and loves them. Some people are offended about being likened to a sheep. I hope you're not today, because Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. So he protects us, he values us, and he cares for us. And in the story of the lost sheep. Now, I don't know about you, but if I had 100 sheep and one ran away, I'd probably think, well, still got 99. But no, the story goes that he left and he searched for the one, the 100th sheep that had gone astray. And so such is the love of the Good Shepherd for you and me today. He will go the extra mile, the extra effort to retain and collect the sheep. He is the Good Shepherd. In John chapter 11 and verse 25... Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. Benjamin Franklin and Mark Twain were heard to comment that the only two certainties in life are death and taxes. And I don't want to depress you today, but Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And as we read in the psalm, and as we sang in the song, Death is not the end for those who believe in Jesus. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus broke the power and the penalty of death, the fear of death. And this scripture introduces that fact, the resurrection and the life. He overcame death and gives us the assurance of eternal life. Isn't that fantastic? In this world of perplexities and things that alarm us, he overcame death, gives us the assurance of eternal life. I, as a teenager, used to remember the song that said, this world is not my home, I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I do feel at home in the world anymore. But the sentiment of the song is that this earth is not our final resting place. Heaven is that place where Jesus is. Not sure what heaven's going to be like. But the fact of the listing of things that aren't going to be there, if all those things aren't going to be there, it's going to be a pretty good place. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. And in the chapter that we had read to us, Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. In John 14. And it's interesting because... I'll just turn to it. Thomas said, Jesus, we don't know where you're going. And Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And you know, later on, Thomas after Jesus was raised from the dead, they all call Thomas Doubting Thomas. And I think that's a bit harsh, because I don't know about you, but I would have been exactly the same in Thomas's situation. My friends had said, Jesus has come back to life. And if I was not present when he came, I would have been exactly like him and said, no way, can't be, impossible. So here, Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And I'm quite pleased, because had he not said that, Jesus would not probably have said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And in our modern age, some would say, well, there's many ways to God. And fortunately, I'm not the judge of how people get to God. But I do know that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Fortunately, as I say, I am not God. You'll be pleased to know that, and I'm very pleased to know that. So Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he said, no one comes to the Father except through me. And he removes all doubt as the way to God. Is that presumptuous? He didn't say, I am a way, I am a truth, or I am a life. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The way, not one of many ways, not one of many roads. Maybe we haven't yet looked at your favourite in the I Ams. Maybe you don't have a favourite I Am. Maybe they're all your favourites, because they're the words of Jesus. He says in John chapter 15 and verse 1, which is obviously follows on from the chapter we've just had read to us, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. We have a vine in our garden, and at the moment it is laden with grapes. And my wife, they're a dessert grape, they're not a wine-making grape, although she crushes them and makes grape juice, which is rather nice, rather palatable. But they seem to come all at once, so it's quite time-consuming sorting them out. But the vine speaks, and all the... that you have to be attached to the vine. Jesus said, I am the true vine, My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. So the branches must be connected to the stem to produce fruit. And the fruit of the Spirit, as we know, is love, joy, peace, patience, and that long and superb list of things. But to get to produce fruit, we must be connected to the true vine, to produce fruit and to draw nourishment. And we, in our daily lives, rely on Jesus for spiritual health and lasting fruit. The true vine. And the last one I'm going to briefly look at is in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8. Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And of course, Alpha and Omega are using the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He presents himself there as timeless. He was before creation started. He was with God, he's part of the Trinity, reigning beyond the end of all things. And such is our God, who says to us today, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. So wherever we are on life's pathway, Jesus is the beginning and the end. He remains sovereign and ever-present in every season of life. Remember, friends, today that God loves you. He knows all about you. He knows all about me. And he loves you. He's the Alpha and the Omega. In every season of life, from our first breath to our final moment, as we sang in the song by Stuart Townend earlier that Charlie led for us, from life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands our destiny. In every season of life, he is with us. And I love the promises of Jesus. I love the I ams of Jesus, but I also love the promises of Jesus. And he promised that he would never leave us or forsake us. Sometimes, if we're honest, it feels as though he's forgotten about us, maybe. But the truth is, he never leaves us or forsakes us. You are loved and precious to Jesus. You are loved and precious today. Let's pray together. Maybe there's things on your heart that perplex you at the moment, that cause you anxiety. That cause you heartache. Bring them to God who loves you. Bring them to one who says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Bring them to the one who is the true vine, the way, the truth, and the life, the good shepherd, the door, the resurrection and the life, the light of the world, the bread of life. Lord, we thank you that you are all these things for us and many more. We worship you, we give you our lives, we give you ourselves, and we pray your blessing. We pray that you will lead us and guide us in the days ahead. We bring to you, Lord, our world of trouble and war. We pray for peace. Pray for peace in our homes, peace in our communities, peace in our county, peace in our country, peace in our world. Pray that people will be raised up who are people who seek peace, not war. We pray for an end to hostility. We pray your blessing. We pray your leading and guiding on our governments. Pray for justice and peace, hope and healing. We thank you for your love for us. Thank you that nothing, nothing can separate us from your love. Help us to enjoy your love, Lord. Help us to enjoy your presence, enjoy your bounty, enjoy your peace. We give one another to you. We ask your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen.